everybody. Welcome to another episode of Hub on the Know. I am Can't Sleep Selena because, and I learned this today because of my period tracker app. Apparently, whenever my period is coming, my progesterone levels drop down, as is normal, and that causes my body to not be able to regulate heat, and so I heat up a lot at night, and that's why I have insomnia. So thank you, body, for doing this to me.
And I am perpetually fighting white supremacy under capitalism, Corey.
Wow.
There's a white man at my job.
As there tends to be.
Yeah, but he's the only white man in my training group, and he is a hot garbage fire of a human being. Has done several racist things and had to escalate it, and yeah, I'm tired. Like, fuck having to have a job.
Yeah, why do we do jobs, honestly?
I don't know.
And we are joined today by Kendall.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me today.
Every week we begin with a segment we call Historical Hoes, and this week's Historical Hoe is Vanessa Blue. Vanessa Blue was born on May 27th, 1974. Blue started her career as a sex worker, as a nude dancer, while studying to be an emergency medical technician. A colleague she met while dancing introduced her to fetish modeling. After that, she started performing in porn movies. Her first appearance was in a film with Ed Powers. After a year, she took a three-year break, moving to Nebraska to be with her family, but came back to the industry in 2000. She worked for Mercenary Pictures for several years and directed several of their series, one of which, Black Rain, won the 2005 AVN Awards for Best Ethnic-Themed Series. She also starred on Playboy TV and hosted private calls and night calls on Playboy Radio until 2008. That year, Blue won an Urban X Award for videography. Her work and personal life were entangled as she was engaged to Mercenary's owner, Lexington Steele. In 2008, Steele and Blue filed federal lawsuits against each other over the ownership of numerous videos that first appeared under the Mercenary Pictures label. The suits were settled in March 2009 after meeting with an alternative dispute resolution jurist. In 2009, Blue was admitted to the Urban X Hall of Fame. She now distributes her movies through Justin Slayer International, signing with them in April 2010. Vanessa briefly returned to doing scenes in 2011 and did a series of hardcore scenes for Brazzers. Over the course of her career, she has been in over 150 titles. She has also directed Femdon movies under the pseudonym Domina X, as well as being a contract director for DVSX and Adam and Eve. In 2013, she was inducted into the AVN Hall of Fame, and that is the amazing story of Vanessa Blue. This week's Historical Hoe.
Welcome to the podcast.
Yes, welcome.
Hoe in the Know is a podcast by sex workers, for sex workers, all about sex work. And on that topic, I feel like there's some news that I have not, like, fully gotten to, like, get into. And actually, I should have maybe done a little bit of research prior to bringing it up live on this hot mic. But, okay, so there was, like, some development with the whole Backpage lawsuit. Like, one of the lawsuits that happened was dismissed, apparently. Yeah, because there was something about, like, the whole argument was that this site is going to facilitate, you know,
trafficking
and all of that. But the actual case was that it was facilitating prostitution. And, like, I think that the judge said something like, well, you're bringing in unrelated evidence and it caused, like, a great level of bias against the site and you can't bring unrelated facts into this case and da-da-da. So let me actually double check this.
Okay.
Okay. Backpage Mistrial.
Love
that. Okay.
Okay, Backpage Mistrial. This is on Gizmodo. So it gets a mistrial after prosecution goes too far. So they got a temporary victory. And it says that the judge sided with their request for a mistrial after they spent days arguing that the prosecution tainted the jury by laser focusing on appalling accounts of victims who were sex trafficked as minors through ads on the site. And so Backpage's leadership team has not been formally charged with sex trafficking, but rather facilitation of prostitution, the legal term, and various related money laundering counts. So in a motion for a mistrial filed just days after the government's opening arguments, the defense for Backpage's co-founders Michael Lacey and David Larkin, along with former Backpage employees, argued that sex trafficking stories were inflammatory and irrelevant, and that the jury hadn't been selected for their ability to fairly judge a sex trafficking trial.
Right.
The defense counsel wrote that during the past 3 days of jury selection, it was clear in each panel that child sex trafficking and human trafficking were lightning rod topics for potential jurors. So in the absence of actual evidence, the prosecutors inflamed and prejudiced the jury with heartbreaking and horrendous tales of uncharged sex trafficking untethered to the case the government indicted. And so, yeah, that's what Whitney Bernstein, the attorney for Backpage, said. Pretty interesting.
Sometimes our backward ass judicial system actually works out, not because it actually works, no. But because like it's backward as fuck.
It's really interesting, and it also takes so long. I mean, this is what like 3 year old case now, and they're finally examining, I guess, something that seems kind of basic, which is like the evidence or like what evidence is allowed in a case like this. But anyway, it's an interesting development.
Yeah. I mean, what could that mean for Backpage? I mean, do they have other charges pending against them, or is this the only?
There was some tax issues. Like, I think it was like tax fraud stuff, or money laundering rather, hosting prostitution. Yeah. So it's I don't know entirely. Let's see.
Because
the judge reversed course on Tuesday, reportedly finding it seemed the government abused that leeway of, you know, allowing the prosecution to go ahead with evidence that was just looking at sex trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I don't really know. I don't know what this means.
Because could Backpage even come back like after? You know, all this fallout, I don't think so. Like, I don't think that's how.
I mean, not under Sesta Fosta, if I had to guess.
Because
even though Sesta Fosta came after Backpage was shut down, I think that with Sesta Fosta, it was meant to prevent it from just popping back up again, like a Hydra.
Yeah.
Oh, also, guys, if you hear panting in the background, it's because we're joined by our lovable pooch companion, Oreo.
Yes, Oreo's back again.
back with a vengeance.
Yes, being as cute as always.
Yeah. He is so hot right now, and it's because the studio has no ventilation.
Yeah, he's going to get some treats and some water after this, though.
Yeah.
Yes. So what has been up with you, Selena? As of late?
I've been stripping. I've been trying to do all of the stuff. I've been trying to work on getting into this magazine feature, which would be very cool. I am so happy that Oreo's here. Oreo's a little smelly and gross right now, but that's fine. Oreo is
I'm so
soft.
Sorry.
It's okay.
He's getting groomed soon.
I mean, he's a beautiful dog. I don't know. I mean, there is something with sugar daddies, and that is that they start off at the peak of like what they're going to give. Whenever they first see you and they're trying to woo you, it's like stupid money.
Yeah.
But then over time, they gradually decrease it a little bit and a little bit more and a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I just want all of the daddies out there to know that I notice. I see it, and I feel it, and my pocketbook feels it, and I keep track.
Yeah. Do they think that, like, you know, you're not business savvy and that, like, you're not, you know, that you're not cognizant of the fact that, like, there's less money coming in.
It just shows how much they underestimate the business.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's...
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I've just noticed that with my sugar daddy, and, like, maybe part of it is because I told him I wouldn't have sex with him anymore. And...
So yeah. He feels like your time is less valuable, or, like...
I don't know. I think he's... I don't know. I think it's maybe just, like, well, I can't fully get what I want, so... I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Even know if he thinks of it that deeply. I think it's just, like... Sugar daddies, even with the ones that I've had for, like, full service clients, like, they still would, like, fluctuate and go down or whatever at some point after, like, knowing me for long enough, because they, like, think that they have this trust going on. They think we have this rapport going on, blah, 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 blah. We've had such good times.
Right.
Yada, yada. And it's fake, and that's not true. Oh. And I still want the same amount of money. I want more money. I feel like...
Yeah.
Give me loyalty points.
Yeah.
Give me raises.
Yeah. You know them a lot better now. Like, you know, there's a greater sense of, like, their needs and, you know... So it's you're, like, more qualified for the position now than you were when you just start, you know?
If anything, you should be getting more money the longer you're there.
I entirely believe this, and yet it is not how it works in my experience. I don't know what it is. I mean...
I feel like, you know, given any amount of time in customer service, you see how people react within that sphere as a customer to the service workers. So once you get into more of a niche... environment, people definitely do not know how to behave.
No.
Because they're like, oh, the customer is always right, so I can just do whatever I want, right?
And yeah.
It's like, oh, I don't know who lied to you.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. My, like, sugar daddy's been, like, I don't know what exactly his game is, or not game, but, like, that sounded so nefarious. He doesn't have a game, but he just, like, he's on a bit of, like, a save-a-ho kick. And so he, like, he keeps wanting to, like, get me to, like, work for him at his office. And he's like, I can hire anybody I want and pay them whatever I want. And it's like, you know, I know that that can mean, like, over $100,000 annually, like, post taxes. And that's cool, but I don't want to work in an office. And that's why I don't work in an office.
Because you could work in an office.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know? Like, I can speak well enough. Like, I can get through.
Yeah. But...
Maybe he wants a whole secretary fantasy or something. Yeah. Like,
oh, my God, that movie. Oh, have you seen this movie?
No.
Okay.
Oh, it's a journey. Please tell.
Okay. This movie, it's fantastic. It was my... I think it was my sexuality professor in college showed me this movie. And it's about a woman who, like, takes a job as a secretary for this man. And slowly they develop this BDSM DS relationship between the two. Like, there's pet play in it. There's switches. There's, you know, a little bit of just... Yeah, it's a little bit of everything in there. And it's actually not so toxic. Like, not a very toxic view of BDSM and sexuality. And
unlike 50 Shades?
Yes. It's the much better 50 Shades, wow. I would say. Yeah, there's not weird... Like, it's very realistic in the way that it develops. It's not like we have a contract and this is how this is going to go. Like,
it's a dom you all day, every day.
Which is wild because it came out, like, in the 90s. And
yeah, it came out before.
Exactly.
Remarkable.
Yeah. Highly recommend it if you're looking for a fun time.
If you're looking for the fun times.
Yes.
I believe Maggie Gyllenhaal stars. Great time.
Yeah.
Great time.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, mainstream
Keep it funky.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, so my client actually did, so we met up at his office because he wanted to get freaky in the office.
Oh, there we go. I see it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So it was already happening.
I feel like this is, you should watch this film and get some ideas.
You know, I was, like, watching Pretty Woman the other day and I was like, damn, I've, like, definitely hoed out of the Pretty Woman hotel.
I didn't realize it.
I never made myself watch the movie until recently, but then I was like, oh, hoed there.
Yeah. So we do have a guest today.
Yeah. It's not all about Selena Hour.
But it could be.
Oh, I also have waters for you guys.
Okay. Very sweet. So we have a guest today. My friend, Kendall. We've known each other maybe like 2 months?
I'd say
2 months? Yeah. But I thought it would be great to have you on the podcast for a plethora of reasons. I think that you're a cool person and have some cool ideas about sex work. And actually, you were the one who brought it to my attention that OnlyFans drama stuff. You brought that to my attention.
There's always all sorts of drama.
Yeah,
like
I feel like we should like recap this stuff because we haven't done like a real post everything.
Yes.
I wasn't super well versed. I not super well versed in the OnlyFans. I tried it for like a week maybe, but the amount of effort that you have to put in. And I was talking to one of my coworkers at my day job actually about this because she, I also found out, was on OnlyFans for a bit. And the amount of work that you have to put in versus the amount that you get out of it is just so...
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Like my customers at the club are like, well, why don't you have an OnlyFans? And I'm just like, because it takes a lot of time to make content. You need good lighting, you need a good camera, you need to set up like setups for it. You can't just take it anywhere. And you have to have like an idea. Even if you're doing it like guerrilla style out and about, you have to be like, oh, this is like my freaky fantasy on the go. Like,
yeah, and if you are gonna do it guerrilla style out and about, like, you have to be aware of like,
you could get charged as a sex offender.
Yes, and also like people can like look at your addresses, if they can see street names, if they can recognize landmarks, like you gotta be cognizant of that. I mean, like, I follow YouTubers who like blur out their backgrounds just because they don't want people to know where they live, so like, and that you know, that doubles for sex workers, you know. We had that there was that guy who was going around doxing sex workers on OnlyFans, like when I'm sure there's more than one, but like, yeah, so it just
the guy doxing sex workers on OnlyFans, the guy doxing strippers for not paying taxes. There's the whole that whole thing that's going on, like some guy was like going through Strip Talk finding all of the dancers who like posted money pictures and their like daily totals.
Oh no, that's why you don't do that.
That exactly.
For a lot of reasons.
There are so many reasons why you should not do that, and it's just, you don't know who's watching. Mm-hmm. And my partner, who's like a public defender, like he's always like, we use social media all the time. Mm-hmm. Like social media is brought up in so many cases to like either track you down, like if you leave and you're not like showing up to a court date and they find out that you have like a location stamp on your IG, like they will find you.
Yeah, people are able to tell on themselves at this point in time, which is so funny when people talk about like the vaccine and having a microchip to track you. And it's like, no, the microchip's in your phone in your pocket. We already geotagged the location. You did it yourself.
Exactly. And most people aren't turning off like the settings to like that like track you, like
they don't consider it.
They're just like, I want my iPhone and I want the most accessible version of my iPhone.
And like, I wanted to tag where I took my pictures.
I wanted to tag, so I didn't know that like it takes a snapshot of your location on your phone, like when you like look something up, or when you like go on Google Maps or Apple Maps, you know, like it takes a snapshot of. So if you even if you want to have an accessible iPhone, you have to track yourself or be tracked, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's like all of those apps that ask you, like, can we use your location? And then you just like forget that that's on, or they're like, well, you can't use this app without allowing us to look at your location.
Right.
That's freaking creepy. Like, why is that a basic like term of service thing?
But it's the price we pay for convenience
and for technology.
So you've been a stripper.
Yes I have been.
You've done the online sex work thing.
Yes I have.
Why did you start doing sex work?
So in general, it was just like, I don't want to say it's my passion, but it was something where it's just like, like with stripping, I started doing it because somebody like literally came to my J job and was like, hey, and we started talking about like what she did for work. And she mentioned that she worked at the club. And like, I was like, oh, I'm totally down to come check it out. And there was like a night where like new people could come and join. And like, if you were picked as like,
mm-hmm.
you would get like your everything paid for the year, get your fingerprinting handled and everything. So I was like, why not?
Where was this?
This was up in Seattle. I started stripping in downtown Seattle, man, which is great.
It's so harsh whenever like you go to a place where they force you to like fingerprint and register like mm-hmm. you're a freaking criminal.
Oh yeah, no, I was not expecting to go to Seattle PD that day.
Yeah, but. Right.
Especially not for that. And it was just the whole time I was waiting for them to just keep me from leaving. But that never happened.
Yeah.
Ugh. Myself and a bevy of taxi drivers were in and out like lightning. So at least there was that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just like, because before stripping, I did a lot of like more like survival sex work in ways like I would trade like services for like food or housing, because it's like I had housing, but it was not as good as the other available options that a stranger provided. So I was like, you know, this works. And then stripping I felt like was so much easier because it's like, oh, this is like, I don't have to go find the people. The people are coming here. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to McDonald's, you're ordering McFlurry. Like, it's a lot harder to sell that McFlurry to somebody just out on the sidewalk.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
But, like, with people coming into the clubs, that was easy. And I also had the benefit of working in an extras, very extras heavy club. So I was taken under the wing of an older stripper who told me like all the good ways of upselling, and I had my own little side hustle.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And from there it was just like I got top surgery, which I mean, I've seen what happens to strippers with full bush, so I was like, once these are off, I need to sort of just figure out my next steps from there. And with that I found like I did like chatterbait, and I've also just like sort of hung out on social media, and people DM me and they're like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, hey, what's your Cash App? And usually we're able to hash it out from there. But it's like, I don't know, it's like, I don't want to sound like super into myself, but it's like, I know what I look like. I look amazing. Who wouldn't want a piece of this? So it's like, I feel like it ties into a lot of like with my history and like performance art, because I grew up doing theater and I still do like drag and stuff. So it's just like, I feel like it's just another way of just being theatrical and just like living the full fantasy. Oh my God, sir.
Oh my God. Oreo.
Sit, Oreo.
Sorry. Doggy break.
Doggy ASMR.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Sweet boy.
Come on, guys. Sit down. You're good.
Okay. But it's just like, I really enjoy where it's just like you put on like the wig, the makeup, the outfit, like stuff where it's like you feel good, you feel cute, you're feeling like your whole fantasy, versus like all of the day jobs that I had had where it's like, here's your khaki pants and really not great looking like pullover, and you just have to live with that, versus like, no, I'm wearing clothing that like makes me feel good and makes me like wanna like interact with people.
I just don't like, I don't understand why khakis are a thing.
Just like, to torture people.
Like, no, does anybody look good in khakis?
No.
I can't think of a single person.
No.
Maybe, like,
they're great for khakis, hiking. Like, they're great for hiking, I will say.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, as a former hiker. Like, well, I still hike, but, like, not as intensely as I did when I was a youth. They got pockets. And, you know, like, when you're not trying to carry a full, like, a heavy backpack, you know, you put things in your pockets. It's not the most fashionable choice, but it's a choice.
It is a choice.
Yeah,
oh, truly.
Yeah. Oh, I knew people who had the zipper, the pants to khaki to short, you know, short
the
khaki.
Bermudas, the pant to Bermuda short, khaki situation.
I don't even like wearing pants, so it's just like you gotta find your wins where you can get it when it comes to a uniform.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, but khakis, I just feel like they're the wrong color. They look kind of like jaundiced flesh.
Yeah.
And they are usually not shapely, and whenever they are, they still look frumpy.
Oh yeah, no, I've never seen anybody look like wear khakis and be like, yes, this is a confident and well put together garment. You know, it just never works out.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it's like, I've just sort of run the gambit of sex work of whatever I feel comfortable doing. And mm-hmm. if the money is right, I'm like, all right, let's get into it. I like earlier during the pandemic, somebody on, oh God, what was it? I think it was OKCupid or something. Like, they DM'd me and they're like, can you send me a video of your butthole winking? And I'm like, my friend, I sure can. I sure can.
Everything has a price.
Mm-hmm. I titled it Butterfly Kisses. So if you're listening to this, I still think of you.
Oh my gosh. I remember like there was just this moment in time where like men of a certain age, I want to say like early 40s, were just like, did you know that girls are doing this thing called butthole winking?
This was a thing that happened.
Yes.
I love the excitement.
Yeah. They were like school children, like so stoked on this whole concept.
Butthole winking.
Right. Yeah, they're like in Atlanta clubs. I used to see like.
Oh.
I hear so it's many like, things about Atlanta clubs.
Interesting.
Oh my God, the waves of like trends and sex. Like, like right now, like I feel like, you know, sibling situations are very incest. Trendy. Mm-hmm.
That and squirting. I feel like squirting's really hit.
I feel like squirting's always been a thing. And maybe it's just because it's my thing. Like,
there has been a lot of squirting, but I feel like the sibling thing and the getting stuck under a bed or getting stuck in the dryer or the washer or a cabinet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're just suddenly stuck in all of these random appliances. Yeah. What could possibly happen?
What could possibly happen?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I knew MILF was so big when I was a youth.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was like, what was it, Lisa Ann and Julia Ann and all the Anns.
All the Anns.
Nina Hartley, you know.
Nina's the original mom.
Yes, the MILF porn was big. I feel like incest always sort of like stays. It's just what kind of incest are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, MILF has always, I feel like, connoted incest.
Because
it is mom specifically. It's not an older woman. It's not like cougars. The mom aspect.
Or gilfs, you know. Gilfs was hot for a second.
Were they? I mean, like, I know it was.
Again, this might just be.
Maybe
my, just calling yourself my out search at this history. Moment.
Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm alone in this.
Yeah,
one,
I don't know. But yeah, like. Yeah, I would love to see somebody do a paper on porn trends over the years.
Like, wasn't there like a doesn't Pornhub intermittently do that? Not that we are in any way endorsing Pornhub.
Yeah, or look up Pornhub news. You know,
I think that they do some of that. Kind of like OKCupid used to do their stats and stuff. Oh,
yeah, I think they do that on occasion, and like there's a way to like look at the stats currently. Like I remember, you know, like hijab porn was like big at one point. I think that's when
like
they did
Mia Khalifa.
The
whole Mia Khalifa moment.
Yeah. And like, you know, foot fetish stuff always tends to stay close to the top. But yeah, I think they've done that like maybe once or twice, but I would like to see a comprehensive research paper. Sorry, this is me asking the universe really about the porn trends over the last 20 years. Because, you know, we've had internet porn for like over 20 years now. And like, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. Like,
what is this little stamp, this little moment in human sexuality?
Yeah, mm-hmm. for real. See the peaks and valleys of fetishes and kinks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you were at this strip club. It was in... You said Seattle?
Yeah, downtown Seattle. Yeah,
downtown Seattle. What were the customers like? Was there any
broke mostly?
Mostly broke.
Mostly
I feel
broke.
Like downtown kind of tends to be like that, right?
Yeah, it's really tough because it's like the people that you want to be spending money will most likely spend it all on like touristy things and then be like, oh, and then here's a strip club. Let's go check it out. And it was tough because we also, since we were a full nude strip club, we sold no alcohol.
Yeah.
I mean, we sold alcohol under the table.
I hate that too. Like, it's like that here in California. And I'm
really? Oh.
What the hell is this?
Yeah. Cause it's hard enough to like make people part with their money for things that they already feel so entitled to, like your body.
Right.
You know? So it's like when they're sober, it just makes it that much harder. But I really enjoyed my time there. I wouldn't say it was a great time, but I feel like the place I was able to carve out for myself in it was a really good one. it was just hard because it's like, unless you were really willing to put in like major hours, mm-hmm. it would be hard to get a lot of money. But I did what most strippers didn't do. I worked the day shift.
Oh, yeah.
So I would give a pilot who was on his way to Boeing a lap dance at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, mm-hmm. start myself out on the right foot. I would be heading out by the time like a whole bunch of girls were coming
yeah.
in. Because it's like, I already knew, like, I don't want to spend my 11, 11:30, 12, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., like, just sitting on the back wall of the couch on my phone.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not fun. It's not fun.
Oh, I totally get it. That's why I love to work mid-shift, like, mm-hmm. so I can get home by, like, 1:30, maybe 2, if I'm, like, late.
Exactly.
But I'm fine.
Yeah. No, and it's like, the clientele, that was one of the reasons that I also sort of left stripping,
mm-hmm.
because there was, like, they had this thing where I like doing day shift.
Mm-hmm.
I like listening to music that I can dance to and feel sexy to,
uh-huh.
you know, and then they're like, oh, we can't play rap music during the day because it'll attract the wrong type of people. And
yeah.
I'm like, what, paying people,
yeah,
people that
exactly.
want to have a good time?
Right.
Like, I see your coded racism and I raise you a fuck you, mm-hmm. essentially.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I was like, you're not gonna make me go on day shift and listen to like what, classic rock? How am
oh
I supposed
God.
To throw my ass to like Led Zeppelin? I don't even know. Like, I can't.
It's just so funny because it's like, it makes me think of my club management, because they'll be like, well, we only want the girls to dance to the top 40 songs. And I'm like, did you know that 40 of the top 40 are rap songs?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like,
so
exactly.
Rap is pop right now.
Yeah. So how about just allow it to happen?
Yeah.
Allow it to happen.
I wonder what that was like when Taylor Swift was like in the top 40. Is she still in the top 40? I don't know. But I don't listen to top 40 really. But
intermittently she is.
Yeah. Like, can you dance? Are you supposed to dance Taylor Swift in the club?
You know what? I don't know if I've experienced that. Anybody dance to T Swift at the club?
Not.
You know, one time I had a strip show that requested I dance to T Swift. It was
really
how was that?
It was hard.
I believe it.
I definitely like tried to figure out how to dance to it, but I mm-hmm. certainly did. I did it for the party, and they tipped well, and they were very cute. But
okay,
that's all we can ask
for. Yeah,
but it was like, oh God, Swifties,
the Swifters are coming to the club.
Yeah.
No, and I feel like, especially the way that like strip clubs are set up, they really shouldn't be in a position to be making demands of what the strippers want to do,
yeah.
like what they want to dance to or anything.
Yeah,
but.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So it goes. So
were you an employee out there? Or were you IC?
Depending on how they wanted to manipulate it at the time, I was an independent contractor.
Uh-huh.
But it was just definitely one of those things, given the corporation that I worked under, where they would like try, if you didn't know your rules and laws to go by as an IC, they would be like, oh, no, you're an employee. And just sort of flip flop back and forth as it behooved them.
Yeah.
And like, oh, yeah. No, they would try and do a whole bunch of like wild things to get people to like come into work or like, because you ever deal with back renting?
No, tell me.
Okay, so back renting is super fun. It's where even like if you're scheduled to go in and then you decide, oh, I'm not going in because I'm an independent contractor and I can do what I want, they'll still be like, okay, but you're supposed to be here. So that money, you're just going to have to pay this to us next time. So they'll hold on to that house fee.
Yeah.
For next time. And I had racked up like $800.
Oh, shit.
I know, because it's like, as a stripper, I have certain things that I wanted, which was like to have a place to be mentally ill, you know?
Yeah,
so it's
exactly.
like when I need that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And they tried to pull that back rent on me. But unfortunately for them, I had that $800 in cash and I lived two blocks away.
Mm.
So I walked up and I threw it in Luis's face, because this was also after the whole rap music ban thing. So I was like, you're just making this less appealing by the moment in a way that just can't be ignored. And now you're giving me the perfect opportunity to just tell you all about it. Like, they set up the goalpost and I just threw the ball right through it. Where I'm like, you want this money? Take this fucking money. Take this money. And he's like, no, we'll work it out. They didn't know who you were, blah, blah, blah. And then I went and cleaned out my locker and I left.
Yeah.
Because it's also like the amount of like,
I mean, they're not paying you a fucking wage.
They're not right. paying us at all. Exactly. And it's just like the way that they would treat some of the girls there, or like the way that like the audience themselves would treat some of the girls mm-hmm. when it's just like, I wouldn't have had like a third of the skills that I had or any knowledge. I would have probably been taken advantage of like crazy as like a baby stripper if it wasn't for like all of the black strippers that were there being like, no, don't do that. Yeah. Don't do that. So just like to be in a club where they just took them so for granted, where it's like, oh, yeah, you're working so hard, but now fuck you. I was like, oh, so you're going to allow me to be here because of my whiteness. Then I raise you a fuck you to you. If you don't take that as a loss, but you take me as a loss, then you will take this loss.
Right.
It was ridiculous. And so I boogied on out of there, and I'm just hoping that they never call me for that 800.
I mean, they just, I don't know. It's so fucked up. I wish that there was more solidarity with dancers, you know, especially about like racial issues at the club.
Honestly.
Did you see any other white dancers take it as seriously as you?
No. And they honestly should have, because every single song that every white girl went up there and danced to, every single dance move, most of the aesthetics, if not all of the aesthetics, were stolen from black women. Like, the amount of BBLs in the club, it was just like...
Yeah. I mean, it's so like that. I mean, even this past week, there was, like, another white girl who came in with, like, box braids.
No.
Oh, no, wait. She had cornrows. Pardon me.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was... Oh, it's God. Just... It keeps happening, and I'm just like... Why? And it looked so raggedy.
It looked
too.
So bad.
It was like grown out. It was frizzy. It was coming out of the braids.
Yeah.
And she knew it looked bad.
She knew?
She knew. She was like, I don't even know what I'm going to do with this. Like,
maybe
don't.
Yeah.
Don't.
For real. That's a mess. Yeah, no, I really would have loved it if some of the other girls took some initiative in that regard. And I understand you gotta protect your paper, but there's,
but like you also
there's room.
Yeah,
there's room. Yeah. There's room to say shit. Cause also like, it's not like the strip club manager, if all the girls quit or walk out, it's not like he's gonna be able to go up there and shake his ass. You know,
no,
it's not the appeal.
No, they have nothing without us.
Exactly. So it's just like, I just like the cowardice of white strippers when it comes to just like when the hammer drops down on like black and brown sex workers.
Yeah.
It's just. It's upsetting.
It's like they don't even realize, like, they're not even noticing how many black dancers are turned away at the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or even, like, when black dancers get in the club, like, how many of them are getting champagne rooms? How many of them have regulars? Like, the amount of girls where I'd be in the back in the locker room with them just, like, sort of consoling them because they'd be working so hard and nobody would want to dance from them. And it's like, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah.
Like... I just didn't understand it. And that, like, sort of tainted my view and opinion on clubs, which is why I sort of like more of the outside of the club experience of just harassing people for money if they want things from me. Mm-hmm. But
I'm just sad that there's not, like, a black club in L.A.
Yeah.
Like, we may try to say that, you know, like, Crazy Girls is kind of a black club or that Sam's is kind of a black club, but it's not. Neither of those are. They're, like, all about, at most... light skin black people and like white Latinas and thick white girls with BBLs. Like.
Yeah, exactly. And that's still
and it's
that's not a huge range of diversity as they'd like to say it
all.
Is.
It's not black. Like there used to be what is it, Stars? And then Stars went out of business or whatever. And there's just never been nothing has filled that place. And I guess part of that is just like, you know, the whole red tape of like, you know, they're trying to not open new strip clubs.
Like, I'll also say it's like the gentrification of South Central, South LA in general. Like I'm now my commute goes through like where I used to live when I was like 4 years old and where my grandparents lived and my aunts lived and all that. And like there are like high rise buildings where like there used to be like family homes and like it's like this really fucked up sad thing to like watch and I see like the demolition of like black culture and black society in LA and like being pushed, like black people are being pushed inland and like hopefully like the Inland Empire, like there's, you know, black clubs that are doing it up, but you know, I don't think that will exist in LA in the near future, if at all.
Yeah.
But I feel like it should be really a high priority. It should be top of the list, you know?
Yeah.
Or at the very least, like, if people were able to do, like, maybe, like, some sort of rogue stripping, mm-hmm. you know, just find a place, set up a pole.
Yeah.
And have it until people come and roll up on it.
Yeah. I mean, we have some cool, like, pop-up strip club events.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, Acro Strip and Jolene and stuff like that. And, like, I love that, but I wish that any of these had a permanent space. Like, I think it's fantastic that, like, strippers are making it work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because strippers are scrappy and resourceful and will make shit happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, on the other hand, having, like, an actual brick-and-mortar spot for all of this to happen would just, like, make it so people can actually have a sense of permanence about, like, having income instead mm-hmm. of just, like, having sporadic moments where they can earn.
Yeah.
I mean, oh.
I would definitely appreciate some sex work consistency, you know, like a nice consistent income that you know that you can rely on.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I mean, also, like, we are in the digital age and, like, you know, sex and sex work exist online now with camming and, you know, porn being online and all of this stuff, and how we can have virtual strip shows. Not that they give the same experience necessarily as, like, a brick and mortar in person strip show, but, you know, it is where we're going. You know, maybe we have VR headsets where you can experience the porn inside, like, as it's so, you know, happening to you.
POV.
You know, maybe, you know, that's the future of stripping as well, as, like, having, you know, virtual strippers come and sit on your virtual lap and you know.
I don't know. I feel like people still want somebody to grind on their dick.
Robots.
Somebody still wants. It's just a motor that puts some pressure on you in circular motion.
Yeah. Shatter the pelvis.
Yeah. It's just some memory foam strapped to a robot arm.
Fully.
You know?
Fully.
A lot of men's, you know, needs can be met.
Are that simple?
Yeah. Are that simple? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Personally, as somebody who did, like, digital performing, I prefer the in-person. I feel like there's that much more connection and that much more space to hustle.
Yeah.
But I can also understand, given safety precautions and also just, like, sort of availability of places to establish yourself as a business, there's only so many places we can go, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the strip club is, like, one of the only spaces where you can physically be in the same room as your customer legally.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, even though, actually, it's so funny, like, all of the things that are completely illegal but are just, like, so normal at the strip club.
Mm-hmm.
Like, any kind of customer touch, technically illegal.
Yep.
Really?
You directly, like, sitting on their lap, technically illegal.
But it's a part of the,
like,
process.
Licking or kissing your body, technically illegal.
Oh, should be a death sentence.
Yeah.
The moment they put their mouth on your nipple, kill them.
Oh my god.
But disgusting. They want the mommy milkies.
Actually, it's Sissy's milkies.
Oh my
Sissy's
god.
Sister's milk.
Sister's milk. I need sister's milk.
Did you ever get on the bitter spray or anything?
No.
Oh my god.
That was something where it's like, because people, as soon as the top would come off, dudes would just latch on.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on to, like, stripper web, and one of the things that they said was literally get, like, for pets to keep them from chewing on furniture, you spray it on your nipples. Just it a day.
I've heard people put, like, a deodorant on their nipples.
Or perfume. Yeah.
Yeah. I, like, don't know if perfume would necessarily work, depending on the kind.
That's true. If it's a really heavy spritz.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, it also depends on how much you sweat.
Yeah.
But you know what? A lot of these men will go through hell or high water and suck on these titties.
Yeah.
I mean, I've come to accept this. But I don't know. I mean, I hope that there eventually is more space in the strip club for, I don't know, just for these fucking clubs to face reality that the world is changing.
For real. I would love to have like a lot less of like the deja vus or like the big stripper
the
conglomerates.
Experiments.
Like, give us our indie strip clubs. Mm-hmm. Just give us like our small like community owned strip clubs.
I mean, I think those exist, but they really only exist for white people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like in the Pacific Northwest, like there are a lot of mom, quote unquote, mom and pop strip shops, you know, but
they discriminate the most. I feel like because like Deja Vu and Spearmint are so heavily regulated federally, like they are forced into not discriminating.
That's true.
As
they
much.
Have to mind their P's and Q's.
Yeah.
So...
There's always something, isn't there?
There's
with every good idea, there's always structural racism.
Yeah.
Just to undercut it all.
Mm. I mean, there's still black strip clubs in like the South and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, that hopefully is a staying force. So where are you at now? So I know you're just like doing internet stuff essentially.
Yeah, for all intents and purposes, or all internets and purposes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just, especially like with the COVID thing, it's just easier.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I don't know, there's a certain amount of plausible deniability with like doing stuff over text, where if it gets blown up in my face in any sort of way, there's a way of backing out of it versus mm-hmm. like if the dick's in your hand, there's only so many ways you can explain around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's like I've been doing like videos or like I didn't intend on this being like a sex worker thing, but it just sort of turned into it where I created a like a sissy profile because I was just like, all right, people seem to have a hard time understanding this as a man, so mm-hmm. let me just put it in a context where they get it. And so I made the sissy account, and all these people, like I have over like 500 followers out of nowhere, who are making wild assumptions about who I am as a person and my anatomy therein.
Interesting.
Getting all up in my inbox being like, oh, can you provide these services? And I'm like, can you provide your Cash App?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's worked. It's worked a few times. Not every time.
So
but.
Describe what the sissy means.
So like it's weird. There's a lot. It's a true layer cake of a thing, but I'll do the best that I can, where it's like it's men, quote unquote, men dressing as quote unquote women.
Yeah.
They're. From what I have seen, though, from like hanging out in the space too much, there's a lot of like weird like misogyny, like in like, oh, I'm going to be a woman and have my rightful place at your feet with your dick in your mouth, blah blah blah. And then also like a weird like, and not anti-blackness in the way of like repulsion, but in the way of fetishization, like when it comes to like black men, where there's like that weird aspect. But it's,
what does that mean? Like, what is, how does that play out exactly?
Where it's like I've seen a lot of sissies where it's like they will want to just be like, oh, I just want to be like demeaned and like dehumanized and like fucked by like a big black dick.
Yeah, exactly.
Where it's like they're not viewing them as like a person to have a relationship with. They're
it's
viewing
the real metonymy.
Yeah.
I've come into contact with a lot of them, and they're like, I want your like your brothers or your cousins to come and like, you know, sexually assault me.
Exactly, like gangbang and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, that's a really wild energy to bring to like,
so
you can just wear cute things.
Yeah.
You can just wear cute things and be cute. And like a lot of these like people, there are a lot of like trans people who are like navigating the universe in a way, but there's a lot of like cis dudes who will dress up in this way and just perpetuate this. All these things, and it's just it's weird and gross and doesn't help.
It's got to be an interesting case study in, how these cis men perceive women,
sexuality,
femininity,
and gender.
Everything.
And I've seen a lot of sissies be very transphobic too, like
they
want to make it very clear that they are not women, and they're not trying to be women, and that they are very different. They're cross dressers, or they are sissies, not, you know, the T word.
Exactly.
You know, so, which is like, chill out.
Excuse
like,
me?
It doesn't matter. Like,
what,
you're in, like
why
you
do
like.
I feel like this is better.
Right.
Right.
Like, you like putting on panties I think everybody,
yes, we like some stockings.
And live your truth. Don't act like it's some weird thing that you like to put these things on. Just calm down, Hector. Take a breath.
I feel like they want to other themselves sometimes.
Oh,
They want to see themselves as something different.
Oh, yeah. I've had a lot of people in my DMs where they'll take a picture of themselves with an erection in stockings, and they'll be like, how do you feel about this? I'm like, I don't care. And they're so upset about that. They want you to have a feeling.
They want you to get activated about
To be have a feeling of repulsion, because it's when I'm neutral to neutral positive, gross. They're just not there for it. They're like, how can I get off to this? Which, I mean, I love that we
humiliation fetishes, they can be interesting. The underlying transphobia of it, or just assuming that everybody has a degree of transphobia.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like there's far more interesting humiliation sort of scenarios. I think that food and humiliation is so fun and so youthful. Let's have a food fight and I'm going to humiliate you because you got food all over yourself. And that's fun. I don't know.
Yeah.
Exactly. Maybe that's just me.
There are way easier ways of having a good time that don't make people feel gross or dehumanized. Mm-hmm. It's a concept. So I'm just after I found out about the weird and gross parts of the sissy community, I'm like, no, now I have to be here to be loud and annoying.
Yeah.
Just to talk to people and tell them that they're weird and fucked up for being weird and fucked up when they could be cool. And they could just create a cool environment where people can express themselves and still feel confident and whatever. But
how do they interact with your criticisms?
Not well. Usually they'll start swearing at me, or I'll just block them most of the time. It's just I'll tell them what I need to say, and then I'll see those ellipses, and I'm like, you know, I don't actually value anything that you have to say, so I'm just we're done. And I feel I think that might be better than any response that they could give, because then it just sort of reminds them that no, your two cents isn't always there to be taken. Some people will actually take your two cents and throw it in your face.
Even sex workers.
Imagine
who they assume
will
listen to anything because we're getting paid.
Of course. No, I love it, because it's the amount of people where it's they feel so entitled, but they haven't spent a single cent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you haven't paid me, what makes you think I care?
I love this social experiment that you're essentially running.
It's crazy.
It's wonderful. I feel like people in positions of privilege should do this more often.
It's a good time. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
And it's what do I actually have to lose? Mm-hmm. It's Instagram. What can they find? And it's so interesting, because it's people, dudes will come into my inbox and just dick pic after dick pic, video of them jacking off after video of them jacking off. And then they'll be like, okay, now you give me something. And then I'll be like, okay, pay me. And then they're like, but I gave you stuff for free. And I'm like, well, that's on you. That's your poor business planning. Yeah. This is not a quid pro quo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You may be a nonprofit. However,
I am for
money
profit.
Hungry with a corporation.
Mm-hmm. Call me Target.
I'm Scientology.
Oh my God. Honestly.
Oh my gosh.
But
truly. Yeah. Well, where do you think you'll go from here? Because I know we talked a little bit off camera,
off air, offline,
in person, about you going back into stripping.
Yeah, I would, if there is a space for gender nonconforming and transgender, obviously transgender people to strip at, that would be amazing. And it's I've heard of some places up in Portland where they'll have more.
Yeah.
All sorts of stripping.
Yeah, they do that with Acro, and they do that with Jolene. Jolene's the big trans strip club event.
But it's more that's more geared towards trans femmes and right? Jolene?
I've seen a mix. I mean, I don't think that they are necessarily discriminating. I just don't know if they've gotten as many trans mask people.
That's true. That makes sense.
And they've hosted it at a gay bar and stuff and queer spaces, so it's not it's, you know, in a straight space.
That's true. That's excellent. Yeah, no, there just needs to be more of that, more open opportunities for that, because I'd love to get into that.
I also want to shout out Thick Tees. This is a new one that I've been paying attention to.
Thick Tees.
Thick Tees, THICCTs. It's a new fat strip club event.
That's fabulous. Hell
yeah.
Where is this taking place? Or do you have any info?
It's online. It's at Strip Tea, or at Thick Teas, rather, on Instagram.
Nice. Fabulous. I'll have to give that a follow.
All up
Very
to date.
Cute.
Yeah. But as of right now, I'm just like, I have my pole in my apartment, and I've just been practicing as much as possible. Just keeping my tricks.
Yeah, that's all you got to do.
Honestly, I got my like three good ones. I just repeat them as necessary.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
We're reaching the end of our time. Yes. Where can we find you in the world?
Excellent. You can find me on Instagram. Only the fun one. I won't tell you the sissy one. You have to find that. You can find me at Ken Dahl Fay King. That's KEN.DAHL.FAE.KING.
Nice. You can't find me anywhere. Like,
Corey is not for sale.
I know.
Corey is not in the world.
actually, if you want to like find me somewhere, you can go on FetLife.
Hey.
Yes.
I'm on FetLife a little bit more than I am on anything else, because I'm not on anything else. Yeah, Mistress Corey, C-O-R-I, on FetLife, and you can read my strange midnight post about what I want to do to you.
Everybody wants to know.
Yeah.
I can hardly wait.
That's basically it. I do have a milkshake. It does bring all the boys to the yard, and you can click the links in it. Yeah.
It snaps to that. I'm Selena the Stripper. You can find me on Instagram at Pretty Boy Girl. You can find me on Patreon at The Real Pretty Boy Girl. I think that those are honestly the main places that I would suggest you find us. And honestly, we have not updated the Instagram in what is probably a year.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, you guys.
I'm sorry.
Like I said, I'm Kevin Gates and I have 6 jobs. And
yeah.
So anyway, but you could still follow us there. It's at Ho in the Know, spelled Yuk. And yeah, so whenever this comes out, I hope you have a lovely little listen, and you give a little peck on the cheek to a consenting friend.
Yes. Maybe get some dog cuddles.
Dog cuddles, yes. Maybe that consenting friend is your dog.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well that's it guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.